Annual Report 2023 to 2024. Table of Contents. PDF icon. Read the PDF, 832 kilobytes. Message from the Chair and CEO, a transformational change to better serve Canadians. The last fiscal year, 2023 to 2024, was a period of transformation and renewal at the Canadian Transportation Agency, Agency. Over the past several years, the agency has had to adapt to important changes to the environment within which it operates and more specifically changes to each of its three key areas of responsibility, namely, the efficiency of the national transportation system, consumer protection for air passengers, and the human right of persons with disabilities to an accessible transportation network. This is highlighted by a significant increase in the number of requests being submitted to the agency. From requests for level of service dispute resolutions and applications for construction in rail, to complaints related to air passenger protections and accessibility, the agency has seen meaningful increases in the level of demand for many of its core functions. In response to the changing demands, at the beginning of 2023, the agency was provided $75.9 million over 3 years primarily to support the processing of air passenger complaints, but also to better enable the agency to efficiently deliver on its core mandate for Canadians. Then on June 22, 2023, Parliament passed the Budget Implementation Act, BIA, which provided the agency the ability to streamline its air complaints process, develop new stronger regulations for passenger protections, begin implementing a pilot to temporarily extend inter-switching distance and begin the process to cost recover. As a result of the changing environment, the increase in demand for agency services, and the tools provided by Parliament over the past year, the agency has made significant investments in its processes, its systems and data, and how it delivers on its mandate for Canadians. This is highlighted by the successful launch of the Complaints Resolution Office, CRO, for air travel complaints. In response to the BIA and in only 3 months, the agency completely redesigned and implemented a new streamlined complaints process which launched officially on September 30, 2023. It was designed to be more straightforward, rapid, and cost-effective, with clearly established timelines and a greater ability to benefit from automation. By the end of the fiscal year, the new CRO was staffed with 112 resolution officers, who were hired and trained in waves, and processed roughly 11,000 complaints. To put this in perspective, 11,158 cases were processed for the entire 2022 to 2023 fiscal year. These preliminary results are promising, and it is anticipated that this process will become increasingly performant with the adoption of new technology, tools and with experience, but it is also important to recognize that the backlog of complaints continued to grow in 2023 to 2024, reaching 71,109 by the end of the period. Unfortunately, there continues to be an unpredictably high volume of received complaints, and the agency received a record 43,549 complaints over the fiscal year, a second straight year over 40,000 and roughly double the number we received in 2021 to 2022. The agency remains committed to continuously improve its processes and close as many cases as possible with the resources it has been provided. At the same time, the recent legislative amendments were also made to strengthen the air passenger protections regime by requiring compensation for all flight disruptions except in the case of exceptional circumstances, which will be established in regulations by the agency, and to put the burden of proof on airlines. To that end, a first phase of consultations on proposed modifications to the Air Passenger Protection Regulations, APPR, was conducted in the summer of 2023, and in the year ahead, the regulatory process will continue. The legislative amendments also provide for cost recovery from airlines for the processing of eligible passenger complaints, for which the agency will initiate the process, starting with public consultations in the coming year. Finally, the agency remains committed to improving the accessibility of the transportation system using all the tools it has to achieve results for persons with disabilities, including specifically issues concerning the safe transportation of mobility aids and the training of employees in the transportation industry. These are issues that have gained important attention over the past year, and there is an important opportunity for the agency and for Canada to meaningfully advance the rights of persons with disabilities in these areas and in particular internationally. The ATPDR are world-leading and providing greater consistency for persons with disabilities traveling internationally would represent a significant step forward. As the agency navigates these transformative times, I am grateful to be able to count on a highly professional staff of public servants and appointed members, without whom this period of change and renewal would not have been possible. In 2024, the agency was named as one of the top employers in the National Capital Region. We were recognized for our commitment to creating a positive and inclusive work environment and our dedication to offering competitive benefits, professional development opportunities, and a supportive workplace culture. I am confident that Canadians will continue to be well served by the professionalism, integrity, and dedication of the team at the Canadian Transportation Agency. France Paget. The context of the agency's work. The transportation sector is critical to the success of the Canadian economy and serves as the backbone of domestic and international trade. In 2022 to 2023, significant disruptions to supply chains worldwide resulted from the pandemic, labor disputes, container shortages, the impacts of climate change, and the consequences of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. This led to the Government of Canada establishing a National Supply Chain Task Force in 2022 with the goal of making Canada's supply chains more efficient, fluid, resilient, and reliable. In 2023 to 2024, we saw significant stabilization, and the supply chain generally functioned well, partly due to decreasing demand for consumer goods. The system had to respond to a few critical external disruptions. Alberta wildfires in May, a 13-day strike at BC ports in July, and a polar vortex in January 2024 all contributed to disruptions in the rail network. Such events underscored the vulnerability of supply chains and the importance of investing in resilient and sustainable processes and infrastructure. Passenger air travel in Canada has almost returned to pre-pandemic levels in 2023. However, on-time performance by Canadian Airlines ranked 40th out of the 46 countries with the largest airlines in the world according to OAG on-time performance flight data. This may have contributed to the unprecedented number of complaints filed with the agency, primarily related to flight disruptions. The air travel ecosystem also continued to report challenges with hiring and training staff. Of note is the shortage of available pilots, an issue brewing for several years. This has incentivized airlines to use their limited number of pilots to fly fewer, larger planes and has been one of the primary reasons for reductions in the number of regional flights. That said, in many cases, the number of available passenger seats to and from small and medium airports across the country is increasing due to the larger aircraft being used. Finally, it was a tumultuous year for Canada's ultra-low-cost carriers, highlighted by Lynx Airlines ceasing operations in February 2024. Regarding accessibility, there were many significant events and issues throughout the year primarily related to air transportation. There continued to be far too many incidents of lost or damaged wheelchairs, as well as problems with inadequate services and assistance being provided to persons with disabilities. There is also a building momentum to resolve these issues. In Canada, two parliamentary committees, the Standing Committee on Transport, Infrastructure and Communities and the Standing Committee on Human Resources, Skills and Social Development and the Status of Persons with Disabilities, held meetings on the accessibility of the air transportation system. At the end of the fiscal year, it was announced the Minister of Transport, Pablo Rodriguez, and the Minister of Diversity, Inclusion and Persons with Disabilities, Camille Corot, would host Canada's first National Air Accessibility Summit in May 2024, building toward Canada's commitment to ensuring transportation is accessible and barrier-free by 2040. The International Civil Aviation Organization, ICAO, also designated 2024 as the year of facilitation and announced a global summit focusing on enhancing the passenger experience. One of the key themes for facilitation and the summit is accessibility in international civil aviation. Canada is a world leader in accessibility, and these events demonstrate both a willingness and an opportunity to work together collaboratively to address the gaps in air travel accessibility nationally and internationally and to build better alignment and cohesion. An efficient transportation system for Canada. One of the primary mandates of the agency is to support an efficient transportation system for Canada. The Canada Transportation Act, the Act, includes the National Transportation Policy, which guides the agency. It states that competition and market forces are the prime agents in providing viable and effective transportation services and that regulation may be required to meet public policy objectives that cannot be achieved by competition and market forces alone. Rail. The agency was founded in 1904 as a railway regulator. This role continues to be essential in contributing to the efficient operation of an industry that moves over $380 billion in goods each year. In 2023-24, we saw a significant increase in railway construction and certificate of fitness applications and related matters, as well as for railway helpline calls from shippers and municipalities. The agency monitors freight rail performance in Canada, issues certificates of fitness for federal railway companies and enforces compliance with minimum insurance requirements, determines railway costs, approves rail line construction, oversees the discontinuance of service, establishes the net salvage value of railway lines, determines interswitching rates and the maximum revenue entitlement for the movement of Western grain, resolves disputes between railway companies and shippers over rates or level of service, and between individuals or communities affected by rail noise and vibration or relating to railway crossings, monitoring freight rail performance. In 2023-24, the agency's rail monitoring program continued to evolve. The agency monitors rail performance and service issues using publicly available data. We use this data and information railway companies and shippers provide to help evaluate the transportation system's overall health. This data allows the agency to broadly assess the overall timeliness of service and identify service disruptions when they occur and as they evolve. As part of this monitoring program, the agency also looks at grain volumes and movement to determine how the service provided compares to the Grain Handling and Transportation Systems, GHTS, needs. If the service levels don't allow the GHTS to function effectively, further investigation may be necessary to determine whether this is due to issues that are under the control of the railways. We also monitor embargo data to ensure that any embargoes invoked by railways are imposed appropriately, that is, they are targeted, used only when necessary, and only as a last resort. Embargo data can indicate and help provide precision on the specific causes or impacts of observed service disruptions. They can also identify commercial practices that do not align with the carrier's obligations to the transportation system and its users. Specific data the agency monitors include Canadian National Railway Company, CN, rail volumes and Canadian Pacific Kansas City Railway Company, CPKC, rail volumes, traffic volume variance across Canada, the United States, and Mexico. Grain service and volume data through the Grain Monitoring Program reports and CN and CPKC's weekly reporting of grain volumes. Ag Transport Coalition's daily and weekly reports, as published. Association of American Railroads embargo details. And additional information provided through the Transportation Data and Information Hub, part of the Canadian Centre on Transportation Data. Using this data, agency staff were able to identify supply chain issues and quickly engage with stakeholders to work toward more proactive communications and resolution. This intervention contributed to a general improvement in the timeliness of recovery when issues arose. The agency increased its outreach related to system monitoring through an expanded agenda of regularly scheduled informal meetings with various rail stakeholders, such as CN, CPKC, and shipper associations, to discuss rail service issues that may not be evident from the data that the agency monitors. Railway costing model. To help deliver on its rail regulatory obligations, the agency maintains a railway costing model to estimate railway operating costs. The costing model is based on railway-submitted data and has a variety of applications, such as adjudicating rail service and rate disputes, setting interswitching rates under the railway interswitching regulations, determining overhead used for charges in the construction and the maintenance of railway crossing protection at railway crossings, and estimating the impact of possible changes in transportation policy and other related regulatory activities. In support of this work, the agency determined 2023 depreciation rates for CNR 2023-236, for CPK CR 2023-235, 2022 cost of capital rates for CNR 2023-168, for CPK CR 2023-167. Determinations for the movement of Western grain. Since its founding in 1904, the agency has been seized with issues regarding the transportation of Western grain to market. The Act has legislated annual requirements for the agency to make determinations that support this activity. The Maximum Revenue Entitlement, MRE, determination is a form of economic regulation that enables the Canadian National Railway Company, CN, and the Canadian Pacific Kansas City Railway Company, CPKC, to set their own service rates, provided that the total amount of revenue collected from their shipments of Western grain remains below the ceiling set by the agency. This year's determination, R 2023-254, found that CN and CPKC revenues exceeded their respective maximum grain revenue entitlements for the crop year 2022-2023. Regulations require revenue above their entitlements, plus a 5% penalty, to be paid to the Western Grains Research Foundation. CN and CPKC were required to pay penalties of $3,630,836 and $3,537,877, respectively. Table 1, Maximum Revenue Entitlements, provides further details from the MRE determination. The agency also determines the volume-related composite price indices, VRCPI, for a given crop year. The VRCPI is an inflation factor applied when we make our maximum revenue entitlement determinations. It reflects a composite of the forecasted prices for railway labor, fuel, material and capital purchases. The agency bases the determination on reviewing and verifying data supplied by the railway companies. In 2023, the VRCPI determination, R 2023-91, showed an increase over the previous crop year of 12.11% for CN and 5.43% for CP, primarily due to increased fuel prices and material costs. Interswitching. In 2023, the government changed the Act to enable a temporary 18-month pilot extending the interswitching distance in the Prairie Provinces to 160 kilometers. Interswitching is the mandatory transfer of traffic between two railway companies under regulated rates, in order to increase the options available to a shipper that would normally only have access to one railway. It is normally required up to 30 kilometers of an interchange. In support of the 160-kilometer extended interswitching pilot, the agency determined the 2023 rates for the new interswitching zone, R 2023-178, and the 2024 rates for all interswitching zones, R 2023-237. Railway construction applications. If a railway company intends to construct a railway line subject to Section 98 of the Act, it must apply to the agency for approval. Railway infrastructure applications to the agency have been increasing. These applications are highly complex and have significant economic, environmental, and community impacts. The agency provides detailed guidance to applicants to ensure complete applications. In 2023, the agency approved CN's application to build a railway for its Jansen Spurs project in Saskatchewan, R 2023-156. Ongoing Section 98 processes include a bypass at Lac Megantic, QC and a logistics park in Pitt Meadows, BC, among others. Certificates of Fitness, COEF. The agency issues a certificate of fitness when a company proposing to construct or operate a railway under federal jurisdiction demonstrates that it holds the required third-party liability insurance. This insurance must cover the risks prescribed in the Act and regulations and, in the case of freight rail operations, cover the minimum amount of liability based on reported freight traffic volumes of crude oil and dangerous goods. In the case of passenger rail, Adequate insurance coverage for the passenger operations in question must be obtained. Staff conduct annual compliance monitoring activities of active COEF holders to ensure they meet the ongoing third-party liability insurance requirements under the Act. In 2024, the agency changed its process to provide more straightforward information to COEF holders, including the consequences of non-compliance, and to require them to ensure their operations descriptions are accurately reflected in the COEF. The agency may also vary COEFs to reflect changes in railway operations or may cancel or suspend a certificate. In 2023, Union Pacific Railroad Company obtained a variance of its COEF to reflect a change in its railway operations in Canada, namely carrying crude oil, R-2023-107. In 2024, HBR also obtained a variance of its COEF to reflect its current legal name, Hudson Bay Railway Corporation, R-2024-23. The Norfolk Southern Railway Company, NSRC, obtained a variance of its COEF to reflect a change in its railway operations in Canada relating to the volume of the prescribed goods that NSRC is authorized to carry. Rail disputes. Rail disputes are complex undertakings that require significant technical, economic, or mediation expertise. In 2023-2024, the agency resolved 39 rail disputes. Of these, the agency resolved 12 through facilitation, 12 through mediation, and 15 through adjudication. We also addressed 152 inquiries via our rail helpline. See our page, Complaints and Disputes About Rail Transportation, for more information on the types of complaints the agency handles. See Statistics 2023-2024 for the agency's detailed dispute resolution and other statistics. Air. With respect to the efficiency of air transportation, the agency is responsible for issuing licenses and charter permits to Canadian and foreign airlines offering services to the public, enforcing all applicable licensing requirements, participating in the negotiation and implementation of international air transport agreements as part of the Government of Canada negotiating team, ensuring airlines have tariffs, the contract between an airline and its passengers that covers the rights and obligations of both, applicable to their air services consistent with the Act. Air licensing. In 2023-2024,